Please, can we rise up on our feet as we welcome to the podium a friend of the family, a friend of Wisdom Assembly, a mentor, a coach, a man of the people, a man of God. He's a man that wears many hearts. And I envy him because I was asking him this morning, how do you even do it? How do you do it? You, one minute you are sitting with the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. The next minute you are sitting with somebody like me. And the next minute you are doing a whole lot of stuff. But God has so graced him. And this is the second time in Wisdom Assembly. And I want us to give him a proper Wisdom Assembly welcome as we welcome Revy. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir. Please be seated in God's presence. You see, good friends are hard to find. When you find one, you got to give God the thanks for it. I want to thank God for the life of Pastor Carl and his dear wife and the whole family. I bring greetings from my wonderful wife who can be here today. She's still very upset that I didn't bring her, but it's okay. It's time to hang out with boys, you know, but it's good to be here today. You know, a lot of love for everybody. Amen. If you have your Bible, can you please bring it out and open it to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. I'll be reading from verses 11 to 19. It's a text you know already, but just for a little bit of emphasis this morning, because it's our month of Thanksgiving, and it's also the Thanksgiving Sunday. So everything runs around Thanksgiving. If you're there, say amen. So I will read Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. We ask you to open our eyes and the eyes of our heart so that we may hear you specifically what your spirit is saying today in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this my sermon is called "The 9 Reasons Why the 9 Lepers Never Gave Thanks." We are all guilty at moments, I don't know about you, when God will do things in our lives and we don't have the opportunity, or we don't give God the opportunity to give thanks. We fail to give God a genuine act of thanks from all that God has done for us. Everybody is waiting for a moment when they will say thanksgiving. Let me dance. Let me throw everything. God is saying a thanksgiving that cannot be done in your private place is false in the public domain. Because it must first of all start from the little things that God has done for us up to the big thing. And many are saying it's only when God do the big thing that come and give thanks. No! We heard this morning that God, to have kept you up to this time of the year, is what to give thanks to God. You know, one of the great things to give thanks for as well is not only what God has done. What about the things that he hasn't done? It's worth giving thanks to God as well. What about the little things that looks like this, but it's worth to give thanks? What about the job you thought you were going to get and you didn't get? Instead of frowning, give God the thanks. What about the guy you are going to marry and you never married him, the guy jilted you? Because if you had married him, your life would have been in danger. Give thanks to God. That's why the Bible says, in all things and in everything, you should do what? Give thanks to God. I reckon these 10 lepers, they were together. If you ever been to the Israel, in those days and in the life of the Jews, they will have put them into what is called a leper's colony. All the lepers. It doesn't matter. You see, when people are going through circumstances, race doesn't matter. That's why it wasn't whether you are a Jew or a Samaritan or whatever. Everybody is suffering. Gather everybody together. So they were all in lepers' colony because they were banished. They were not to be in the public domain. So people would throw food at them, or people would drop food where they'll go and get the food. They cannot mix with the ordinary people. So their life has been ostracized. And they will have, these 10 lepers, I reckon, in their limping feet, they will have been just trying to find food, because the Bible says Jesus was going through the borders. And I guess one of them will have thought, that looks like that man called Jesus. Now, how would they have known that that was Jesus? Because oftentimes when you read the Bible, you have to read the story behind the story itself. So you remember that Jesus lay his hands on a leper and he got healed. It's not impossible that the story will have gone through the camp. He lay hands on one guy and he became healed. And it will have been description of who Jesus was. So when they saw him from afar, they began to shout, "Jesus, son of David," or "Jesus of Nazareth." What? "Help us, have mercy on us." But Jesus didn't actually did what he expressed to the other leper. Because oftentimes we expect God to do the same thing the same way. We don't know that God has different things. The way he dealt with you is not going to deal with me. So I don't have to envy what we are going through, because when God comes out for me, it's not the way it's going to come out with the other person. So I have to focus on what God is doing in my life. So Jesus looked at them as far distance as they are, because they will have expect, "Jesus, call us so that we can touch, you can touch us." Or, "Jesus, do something that is hocus pocusy." But Jesus just said, "You know what? Go and show yourself to the priest." And I imagine some of them will have said, "Of all things, that's too simple. Just to go and show ourselves to the priest. We cannot even go from here to go and see the priest, because we will be stoned to death because we are leper." Oftentimes, when God asks you to do something, it is the act of the obedience that will determine whether your faith comes through. It takes faith to take risk. In fact, another word for faith is taking risk. It takes faith to say, "We are going," because they are taking a risk. But God doesn't come through for you until you obey him. So Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And the Bible says, as they began to go, the guy just realized the legs come back. The hands have been withered, come back. Things begin to come back. And they began to be joyous. You know, there was a joy amongst them. They were saying, "Oh my God, my business, I'm going back to it. My wife, I'm coming back. My children, I'm coming back." They were too excited about what they are going to. But it was just one of them who thought, "No way, man. I don't deserve this thing that happened to me." You might think it's just normal. It's abnormal for me. I can't just go like that. I have to go back and find the person that did that to me. Because the Bible said when he found Jesus, he didn't just say thank you. If you read the Bible very well, the Bible said, there's something when you prostrate. The Bible said he prostrated. Your depth and the expression of your thanksgiving is dependent on the value of what God has done. There are 9 reasons why these lepers will have given the excuse. Number one, I think one of them will have said, "I'm a Jew, I'm not a Samaritan." And Jesus must understand. See, oftentimes we take God for granted. "I'm a Christian, God should understand. I deserve what God did for me. After all, I'm a believer." No, you don't deserve it. There are other people who deserve it, but it didn't happen to them. So one of them will have said, "I am already a Jew. Jesus a Jew. I'm not like this Samaritan. I'm a believer. I'm not an unbeliever. So God is mandated to do what he has done for me." You take God for granted. How many times you and I have taken God for granted? Another of the leper will have said, "I'm too excited about what just happened. Let me party and enjoy first." Isn't that with many people? When God comes through, instead of running first to the one that came through for you, say, "Let me party. I need to shout. I need to tell the whole world. You know, there's something about my excitement. I'll come to God later. When there is Thanksgiving service next week or next month, I'll come and give thanks." God said, "Do it now." Because it's not the church that did it. It's me, God, that did it. You have to say thanks to me then before you go to your public display. Are you hearing me? Another one will I say it's not a priority now. I'll give thanks later. There are so many things to do now. I'll leave the thanksgiving. After all, there's a church, there's a service. I'll go and do that later. The priority now is I need to go back to my business. I need to go back to what I'm going to do. I need to connect stuff. I need to do stuff. I'll give thanks later. And we leave what is substantial and what is important. Another one will have said, I have nothing to give him. Maybe when I am well off, I will come and do an extravagant thanksgiving. That could have been the thought of some people. Why should I come and give thanksgiving now? Let God, what God has started, let it blossom. In about 3 months' time, when the money has come, when I can gather the whole family and friends, all with their head tied, then I will say they will know in church that I've arrived. God says I'm not interested in all of that. It is now. Because you are doing that as a showman for people, not in honor of God. Another one will have said, we don't want to give the whole credit to Jesus. After all, I have a part to play. And some will have said, after all, I fasted 90 days. It's not only God that did it. I partook with God as well. I did 7 days dry fast. It wasn't just that God just did it. I was in the spirit, and the spirit was moving me. I was seeing the angels and the host of heaven before this thing come through. So some will have said, I'm a part player in God. Another one will have said, it's a long journey to go and say thank you. Maybe when I see him again, I've gone too far. Maybe when I see him again, I'll come and say thank you. And another one will have said, I don't want people to label me as a leper that has just been cured. I don't want to be vulnerable and say this is where I'm coming from. This is where I am. I don't want to be publicized. I don't want to be known. So I will do it secretly. Or I'll do it in my heart. My daughters always correct me. Anytime they bring a glass of water for me or something. And then I'll drink the water. And they will stand there. I will say, what are you standing for? They will say to me, Dad, say thank you. I say, I'm saying it in my heart. They'll say, not in your heart. Say it with your mouth so that I will know. So some people will say, I'm thanking him in my heart. Another will have said, I will say thank you inside of me. So rather than saying it to God, they will say, I'll say inside of me. And number nine, another of the leper will have said, I don't want him to challenge me to live a life that is worthy of his glory. If I go back, he knows my heart. If I come and do thanksgiving, I will be challenged to live for God. So I better in where I'm doing. What about the one that returned? What will have been going through his mind to go and say thank you? He will have said to himself, I don't deserve to be spoken to. After all, I'm a Samaritan, not a Jew. He could have excluded me. But God, in his infinite mercy, still considers you and me worthy of what he's doing. God considered all of us in his grace and in his mercy. I don't deserve to be healed, but I cannot keep it to myself. I cannot go forward without going backward to go and say thank you to the one that healed me. I cannot go without throwing myself at his feet and say thank you for what you have done. I must thank him with my body, my soul, and my spirit. That was what he did. He didn't just thank Jesus with his mouth. He didn't just do it with his heart. He threw his body as well. He was demonstrating that the whole of my being is to say thank you to you. You know, the Samaritan must have knew the secret of getting to God's presence. If you have the Message Bible, Psalm 100 verse 4, is an amazing thing. If there's any text in the Bible that has blessed me, this text blessed me. Because oftentimes we think we need to do like uncountable intercession to get to God's presence. We need to do this and this to get to God's presence. But the writer of the Message Bible gave a code that has been helping me. I don't know whether I will help you today. In Psalm 100 verse 4 in the Message Bible, he said this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, but enter with the password, thank you, to his presence. You don't get that. God is saying there is a code to enter my presence. I still don't get it. He said, enter with the password, thank you. Listen, you can get to this building, but that doesn't mean you can go get into this auditorium. Because there's what? A lock on the door. And if that door has a lock, only those who can compute the door can come inside. So God says you can enter with everything, but the code to enter into my presence is what? Thank you. He said the only code to enter is thank you. If I give you my laptop or my computer, for the fact that you have the laptop, that doesn't mean you have the access. So for you to have the access, I need to give you what? The password. So the password is the code. God says, I am giving you my laptop. And for you to enter, to know what it means to have healing, what it means to have breakthrough, what it means to have the opportunity, you need the password. And God said, the only password that you need is what? Thank. Imagine having the password for protection, the password for provision, the password for healing, the password to have the peace of God on your heart. And it's just what? Thank you. Ephesians 5:20 reads, at all times, for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. He said, at all times, in everything. And you want to ask, under what circumstances should I give thanks to God? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reads, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God, for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of his will. So the Bible is saying to us here that it's not only when things are going well for you that you should thank God. He said in every situation, in all circumstances, whether things are going well, whether things are going riot, he said there is something when you begin to give thanks to God, it changes the narrative of your story, and it changes the way you see things. In all situations, you must be saying, it could be worse, but it wasn't worse. So when you can think that it could be worse, but it wasn't, it changes what you are thinking, and you begin to give thanks. The story was told about one of the greatest theologians of all time, Matthew Henry. He was walking through the streets of London, and he was robbed. His clothes were taken, he was beaten. And he got home, he knocked the door, his wife opened the door for him. And you can imagine what the wife would have said. Ah, oh my God, look at the way you are. What, say, what happened? Say, I got robbed. Oh my God. So the man said, hold on. I have four reasons to give thanks for being robbed. Are you serious? Who give thanks for being robbed? He said, yes. The Bible did says, in all things, and in everything, you should do what? So the wife said, bring it on. What are those four? He said, number one, I have never been robbed before, but now I have been robbed. I give thanks. But it is true. How will you have compassion? How will you have a heart that actually relates to other people if you have not experienced what they have experienced? How will you be able to have that heart? You will just dismiss them. He said, now, he said, when people get robbed, I just say, go, okay, God be with you. He said, no, when people are robbed, I say, I'm the minister in charge of people who get robbed. Come, I will minister to you. Why? Because your experience will dictate the manner in which you minister. That's why the Bible says, in everything and all things you do, what? Give thanks. So he said, number two, although they took my pulse, they didn't take my life. He said they could have taken my life, but they only took my pulse. He said, because of that, I give thanks. Number three, he said, although they took everything, but I still didn't come back home naked. I still have something. Can you imagine finding opportunity to do what? To give thanks. And he said, number four, he said, this is very interesting to me, that it was not me that robbed. Somebody else robbed me. So I give thanks. Come on, give God a round of applause. You must find reasons at all times to give thanks. Good times, bad times, you must give thanks. Psalm 126 verse 3 said, the Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. It's possible to forget what the Lord has done. But if you pause for a minute and count your blessings one by one, it will amaze you what the Lord has done. If you begin to thank God that I am awake this morning, I have roof upon my head, I can eat, I'm not in the hospital, I can come to church. Even if you can't think of anything, think for the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. His mercies that never come to an end. For they are new every morning. And great is the faithfulness of our God. When you are not faithful, he's still faithful. When you missed it, he said, but I am renewed every morning. I don't know of anybody here who will not get crazy when it comes to time of giving thanks, because you have to let the thanks come from your heart. Forget about what it is and what is not. You have the password to enter into the presence of God. And what has been defiling you, or what you have not been able to get, because you are able to enter into the computer of God, your eyes just open and God say, take it, you have it. For many today, where we good thanksgiving, many will give thanks, which is true, because of what God has done in their life. And they will be like, I thank you, God, for all you have done. Maybe many will be publicly testify of God's goodness. They will testify of how God has been gracious, new job, new wife, new whatever, work, new home, what God has done for you. And it is rightly so. I call those people that they are what? They are conquerors. Because you have conquered. But listen, there are some other people here that God is waiting for your thanksgiving. He hasn't come through yet. There seems to be no sign what you are believing God for. But rather than sit down and look at those who are giving thanks, you jump on your feet and say, I want to give thanks too. God says those people, they are not just conquerors. They are those who are called, they are the more than... Because you are not just a conqueror. You are more than those who have conquered, because you give thanks in your pain. You give thanks in your need. You give thanks because you don't have it yet. Because that's why our attitude unto God is a consistent, continuous attitude that gives thanks to God. Thankfulness to God is a conscious appreciation for what God has done. It's not only the material and the physical things, but God wants to see it as a deeper stuff from our heart. Because of his mercy and his kindness and his love every day, God says, is that thanksgiving that I require most? A great man of God that I guess all of you know, but I don't want to mention his name, says that he prays for about 4 hours every day. So we kind of ask him, what do you pray for? 4 hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours every day. What do you pray for? 5 hours every day. Some of us, by the time you pray 30 minutes, you are saying, God, that's enough. If you can't hear, let just life. How many times am I going to ask, bless me, raise me, lift me, whatever? I've said it once. Should I be repeating myself like a record? God, you know you hear. So let me go on with my business. I said, so what do you pray for in 5 hours? Teach us too. We want to know. And he said, only 5% of the prayer is actually asking God. He said the 95% is what? He said when you begin to give thanks to God, he said hours fly. You cannot even recollect. He said when I start from the time my mother had me in the womb, how I didn't die coming out. How I didn't die when I was young. How I went through the toddler stage. How I went through the primary school, the secondary school, the university. How I went through life. How I got married for my wife, for my children. He said by the time you start labeling it one by one, counting it one by one, he said hours just disappear. And God in the heaven, you'll be calling Gabriel, hear him. You'll be calling Michael, hear him. You'll be calling the host and the 24 elders, hear him. Because there's nothing else you can give God and the praise. He said, here's somebody that knows the password to enter my presence. So what you don't even want. You don't even imagine it. You just say, take. Because you understand the password to enter my presence. In close, Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae gave these 3 ways of which we can give thanks. Colossians chapter 3 from verses 15 to 17. In verse 15, he said, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, in which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." He says, this is it. There is opportunity for your mind to be troubled. But he said, let the peace of God, say, the peace which passeth all understanding, when it rules in your heart, it gives you the opportunity to be thankful. So he's saying that you might be in the midst of not having things all sorted out. But once you can guarantee that peace of God that rules your heart, so in the midst of things not well, you can call on the peace of God to garrison your heart, and he said it changes it. That was what happened to Paul and Silas. They were in the Philippian jail, and they were in a mess. They were in a place where nobody would say, "God, why did you put me here? Is it my life? I'm dying." They said the peace ruled their heart, and they changed what would have been a story for regret, a lamentation, to a song of praise and thanksgiving. So let the peace of God rule your heart. And he said in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, in singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart." So he said, number one, let it start with the peace. See, when the peace garrisons and stays in your heart, it's the process of thanksgiving. You cannot thank God unless you have already assured him in your heart. You see, when the peace to praise God is garrisoned in your heart, the next step is you can't keep quiet. He said, let the praise, let the hymns, let the singing, let the dancing. Because oftentimes people sing and dance, but it's a fake dance. Those that dance in authenticity is based on the peace that is guaranteed in their heart. He said, let it be on your heart as we sing thankfulness in your hearts to God. And in verse 17, he said, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God." It's meaning that you don't just do all of that without giving a deed. Something that is worthy that you bring. It's a function of your heart, a function of your mouth, and a function of your action. An expression of what you do. And I close with my model of somebody who understands praise and thanksgiving. David. When he was bringing the ark of God back to Jerusalem, in 2 Samuel verses 6, from verses 12 to 15, having missed when he was bringing it in the first time, in the second time when he was bringing the ark from the house of Obed-Edom, he did something that I found very interesting about thanksgiving. The Bible says it was with all his might and his power. But this is what actually made it for me. The Bible says it will take 6 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stop, everybody. Bring me a cow or a goat or a sheep or something. He will slaughter it. And he will praise God. He will take another 6 steps. He will slaughter another thing. Now, theologians did say that the distance between the Obed-Edom's house and the gate of Jerusalem was miles. You don't get what's happening here. For the Bible says every 6 steps, it will stop. Do you imagine how many of those animals in today's world, money, that he invested? Again, somebody will say that's wasteful. Somebody is saying, why can you do that to the God that you can't see? But David said, you don't understand. If you know what I know, you will not even question me. Every 6 steps in your life is about 6 steps. You have 6 steps to sacrifice. Because every 6 steps you take and you sacrifice something, you bring something of worthy unto God, something open up, you take another 6 steps of level, something open up, you take another 6 steps of level, something open up. Because God is saying it is in your sacrifice, your thanksgiving, and your offering that I see the genuinity of your heart. That was why when he got to the gate of Jerusalem, where Psalm 24 was called from, he made a big shout. He's opened the door. But the King of Glory is coming in. And those who are behind the door say, "Whoa, is that King of Glory?" He said, "You don't get it. It's the Lord that is is mighty, the Lord that is. Open the gates, for I'm bringing the Lord in. You don't get it. When you come to that understanding of who God is in your life, it goes beyond just thanksgiving of mouth. It comes from your heart. So when your mouth praise him and you bring all that you have within you, God says, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. That makes a difference. That makes that difference. So I'm asking you, don't just let today. Pastor said that it's the first half of the year has gone. We are entering the second half of the year. First Sunday of the first month of the second half of the year. And the Bible this says the latter years shall be better than the former. Amen. That means whatever you said you are or you think that has been for you in the first part is nothing compared to the second half. Because he said the latter years shall be better, shall be glorious, shall be fruitful than the former in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy to you that the second half of this year, as you enter it, it will be better, it will be glorious, it will be fruitful, it will be rewarding like you've never seen before in the name of Jesus. Jump to your feet and just give him some crazy thanks like you've never done before. I need you on the keyboard right now. Like give him some Holy Ghost thanks. Thank him from the bottom of your heart. Thank him. Just recollect what he has done for you from the beginning of this year, from the beginning of your life. There's places that you should be that you are not. There are things that has been planned for you that God didn't allow you to come to pass. Remember, count your blessing one by one. Name it, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done, what he's still doing, and what he's still about to do. We serve the King of glory, the King immortal, the King invisible, the true and the only wise God, the excellency of Israel, the commander of the heavenly battalion, our shield, our buckler, our very present help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I'm talking about my Jehovah, the God who is for me, the God who is in me, the God who is by me, the one who saved me, the one who redeemed me, the one who called me unto his glory, the one who healed me, the one whose steadfast love never ceases, his mercies has never come to an end. They are new every morning. I don't deserve to be alive this morning, but because of his mercies I'm alive. I don't deserve to be standing, but because of him I'm standing. I don't deserve to be forgiven, but because of the blood of the Lamb. I don't deserve to be the Son of God because of his death on the cross of Calvary. Come on, give him thanks, give him thanks, give him thanks. He's worthy. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The password. If you never remember anything today, remember one thing. The password to enter God's presence is only two words.